studying what true faith believes. True faith believes in God, and He is the Father, our Creator. He's the Son, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, our Sanctifier. That covers really the whole Bible. And so we're studying that. What does true faith believe? And we're at that second part, or second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, our Lord. True faith believes in Him. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, meaning Savior? Because He saves us from our sins. And because salvation is not to be sought or found in anyone else. Do those who look for their salvation and security in saints, in themselves or elsewhere, really believe in the only Savior, Jesus? No, although they boast of being His by their actions, they deny the only Savior, Jesus, because either Jesus is not a perfect Savior, or those who in true faith accept this Savior have in Him all they need for their salvation. Let's turn in God's Word to John 14. John 14. We'll read verses 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, said Jesus, trust also in Me. In My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with Me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to Him, Lord, we don't know where You're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. If you really knew Me, you would know My Father as well. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know Me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen Me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in Me? The words I say to you are not just My own. Rather, it is the Father living in Me who's doing His work. Believe Me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in Me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in My name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask Me for anything in My name, and I will do it. And there ends the reading of God's Word. May He bless that to our hearts and lives. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, many years ago, a young virgin named Mary had a baby. She and her husband Joseph called His name Jesus. That's the name God told them beforehand to give their baby, Mary's baby. You shall give Him the name Jesus, God said to Joseph, for He shall save His people from their sins. That's what the name Jesus means. He shall save His people from their sins. Savior. We say Jesus, we're saying Savior. And we're reminded of that again 40 days after Jesus was born. They brought Him to the temple for their purification following childbirth. And there was an old guy in the temple named Simeon. He came into the temple courts and he scooped that baby Jesus into his arms. And he blessed God and he said, Lord, now let Your servant depart in peace, for My eyes have seen what? Your salvation, which You've prepared in the sight of all peoples. I am looking at Your salvation, who is for all the peoples. Jesus really is our salvation, congregation. He doesn't just give salvation to you. He is our salvation in His own person. He is the way to God, and He is the truth of God, and He is life with God for us. And so when you lay your eyes on Jesus through the Scriptures, like Simeon laid his eyes on Jesus, the baby, you're laying your eyes on your salvation. Savior, that's who He is. What a gift. We think of how each one of us has gone astray. We've turned to our own way. We're far from home. We're far from God. We're without hope and without God in the world. And then here comes Jesus to bring us back home to God. And that's really who Jesus is. He brings us from paradise lost to paradise regained. That's really the whole message of the Bible. Jesus brings us from paradise lost to paradise regained. He brings you home, back to the Father, your Creator. He's the way to God, we see this afternoon. He's God's Savior. He's the only Savior, and He's the perfect Savior. He's God's Savior. To understand the story of Jesus, you have to understand the story of paradise created and paradise lost. Faith believes in the three-person God. Faith believes that this God's the Almighty Creator, Controller, and Provider of all things. And in the beginning, God made the whole world, but His special crown of His creation was man, male and female. God made us for Himself. He made us to know Him. He made us to trust Him. He made us to love Him and to serve Him with all our hearts. He made us His covenant children. That's right. Right at the beginning, we were the friends of God. We were the children of God. He promised us if we obeyed God, we would live forever. If we disobeyed God, we would die forever. It was a beautiful relationship there in paradise. Adam and Eve walking and talking with God, or rather God walking and talking with Adam and Eve. The garden was a mountain and God lived there with them on that mountain. That was a life of freedom, total freedom, abundant joy. And there was no sin. And then things went badly in our first parents. We disobeyed God. We were cut off from Him. We didn't want Him. And we came under His curse of death. And from that time on, the human race has been separated from God and left to walk in darkness, in fellowship with Satan. And the world became a corrupt place of crime and violence and misery and mourning and sickness and death. We were children under God's wrath, headed for hell, eternal punishment. We were lost. God, our Creator, the Father, in His great love and mercy, had pity on us. He didn't want to see the whole human race become a ruins. He didn't want to see the children He had made, Adam and Eve and their descendants, who were now sent out of His house. He didn't want to see them all lost, separated from God. He wanted to restore many sons to glory. And so He revealed His rescue plan to Adam and Eve. And at the center of His rescue plan was Jesus. Jesus, Savior, Rescuer. And He made a great promise to Adam and Eve. One day, Eve, He spoke it to Satan. Though, one day the woman is going to have a son. And that son's going to be a rescuer, a savior. He's going to crush Satan's head. So He's going to be a human being, but stronger than Satan at the same time, greater than a human being. And destroy Satan's power and might and set His people free to worship God. And that's why Jesus came. He sent God, sent His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to bring us to God, bring many sons to glory, says Hebrews 2. Our sin and curse would be punished in Jesus and fully realized in Jesus. He came to take upon Himself the wages of our sin, which is death. But then, why did He do that? So we who were estranged from God, sent out of His house through Jesus, could go back home to God. And always think of salvation as a child recovery project of God. We had abandoned our dad. God turned our backs on Him, said we didn't want Him anymore, rejected Him, and He expelled us from His house and then sent Jesus, His eternal Son, to become also the Son of Mary, to take us back home. And Jesus is the door. He's the way back home. When you think of Jesus as Savior, think of again of the one who takes us from paradise lost, enters our lostness and sin and curse, to redeem us from it, to take it off us, so we could go back home to our Creator God, and that Father, God the Creator, could become our Father through Jesus Christ. God wanted us back as His beloved children again, and be reconciled to us. What a great gift Jesus is. And we must understand the story of Jesus in that context, that when we were lost and far away from our Creator. And under the eternal curse, God provided someone to step into our world and stand in our place and to remove that curse from us so we could go back home to God. Jesus didn't step into the human race from out of nowhere. He's God's Savior, planned from eternity, promised in the Garden of Eden, promised in His love. And He's sent Jesus to rescue us from the curse of separation, to restore sinners to a true relationship with their Creator. Do you long for a true relationship with your Creator, whom you've sinned against, whom you've abandoned, whom you've ignored? There's a way. There's a way to God. God has provided a rescue for you, a Savior. Jesus is that way. In Jesus, right now, Jesus is talking to you through the Scriptures. God is saying to you, I want you back. Come to Jesus. And in Him, I take you back as my child. Jesus is the way back to God for the whole human race. God's salvation prepared in the sight of all the peoples, said Simeon. So when Jesus talked about us going to live with God the Father in the Father's house, and about sinners going back to paradise, Thomas asked him, how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the Father saying, He's here to take you back. Come. Come through Him. How beautiful. How beautiful to know that in Jesus, God takes us back again. That He wants us back again after we've cursed Him, rejected Him, looked for a better life apart from Him, called Him a deceiver and a cheater. When we listen to Satan, God knows that when you eat of that fruit, you'll have a better life. God's a cheater and a deceiver, and they accepted that. And after doing that to God, and after wanting to have Satan as our dad instead of God, that He would take us back, what amazing grace. And that's what the Bible says, Jesus ransomed us for God. A people from every tribe, language, people, and nation. He ransomed us for God. He came to take us back to God. That's what Savior means. He's like the Joshua bringing people out of the wilderness to God's land, the promised land. In Revelation 1:5, Jesus made us a kingdom and priests to His God and Father. And 1 Peter 3, verse 18, Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God, to bring you to God. Romans 5, Jesus reconciled us by His blood to God. 1 John 2:23, whoever confesses the Son, you get the Father also. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. And that's why the structure of the creed is so biblical. We must first talk about God, the Father, our Creator. And then about Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because Jesus was sent by God the Father to an estranged and cursed children to ransom us from the curse and bring us back to the Father. The order of the creed, so important. Made by God, lost, but then rescued by Jesus the Son to be brought back to God in the Spirit's power. Well, Jesus is so central. Sin is the wall that separates us from God. Big wall we can't break through. But Jesus breaks down that wall of sin to bring us back to God, to become children of the Heavenly Father again. And so when you think about that name, Jesus, Savior, remember He's the way to God, or the door to God. He's the truth of God. In Him you see the Father, you meet the Father. Otherwise you can't know Him. He's the truth of God. And He's the life of God, life with God. In Him you have life, eternal life, the way, the truth, and the life. Believe in Jesus Christ and enter into a true and eternal covenant relationship with your Creator. You step out of the curse when you believe in Jesus. You step into the blessing of God's favor. You step out of hell. You step into God's heaven, all through Jesus. And that salvation is for everyone who calls on Jesus' name, for everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. And we see, secondly, He's the only Savior God has provided. He's the only one. I am, said Jesus, the way, the truth and the life. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, you've talked about that before. But how often aren't we looking for truth in other places and life in other places and other ways to get to God? Not satisfied with Jesus. No, I am the way, the truth, the life, the only way, the only one who reveals the true God, the only one who can give you eternal life with God. The way, the truth. There's no other way to the Father except through Jesus. Jesus states it here so exclusively because that's the truth, and he doesn't want us to believe the deadly lie that he's one of several ways to God. He's one good way out of many ways you can take. That's the lie. Religions, other religions like to give that illustration of God being an old man on the top of a mountain. And there are many pathways up that mountain to God. You can take the Muhammad pathway to God. You can take the pathway of enlightened consciousness to God. You can take the pathway of hard work and meditation to God. You can take the pathway of Jesus to God. Whatever you like. Different strokes for different folks. Jesus is just one of those paths. And maybe he's the best one for you, the one that fits your character the best. But maybe you prefer a different way. It doesn't matter. As long as you're seeking after God, it's false. Because God has provided only one Savior. And there's only one way, one truth, and one life with God. Being a Christian means you believe he's the only door that leads to God and every other door leads to hell. That's what being a Christian means. That's what having faith means. He's the only door that leads to God and every other door, though it might be wide and painted with nice flowers, every other door leads to hell because it takes you away from God. Listen to these testimonies from Scripture. Let me read you three. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Listen to 1 John 5, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. This life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Without the Son, you're dead. Peter said in Acts 4, there's salvation in no one else. No one else. There's no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. That is so totally exclusive. Not because God's arrogant, but because he's loving, he's true, and he's faithful. It's accurate. It's right. Oh, in our world where we worship the goddess of choice, we insist the right and the right to choose our own way to God. No one can dictate for me the way that I must take. I reserve the right to find my own path to God, and you must affirm that right or else you're a bigot. That's our false definition of freedom. The right to follow your own way, follow your own preferences, determine your own path. If someone limits our choices, he's committing the cardinal sin. Oh, brothers and sisters, today God's telling you to put away your false goddess of choice. These goddesses are deceiving you. These gods are deceiving you. Tell me when it has ever really worked that everybody can do and believe whatever he wants and still be right. It's irrational. Trust in God, said Jesus. Trust also in me. God's calling you to submit in faith to his one and only way of salvation. The Father through the Son and the Spirit's power to trust him. That will not be death for yourself. That will be life to yourself. The best life there is. The only life there is. He is the life. There is no life apart from him. Not real life. Eternal life. Genuine life with God. Paradise life. No. Oh, you must let God win this argument. And put aside your self-will because he's right. He's love. And he is salvation. He's Jesus. He has it all. Everything you need for life and salvation and joy and abundance and fulfillment and meaning and purpose and service and beauty. He's got it all. He's got forgiveness of sins. He's got eternal life. Because only he is God who came down to earth in our human flesh to die in our place under our curse and sin in order to redeem us from the curse. And to rise again to destroy death and hell and take us back to heaven with him. Only in him are your sins paid for. Only in him are all your weaknesses covered. Only in Jesus do you meet the Father. Show us the Father, said Philip, and that'll be enough for us. We've been waiting to see the Father. Pardon? Said Jesus. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Not because Jesus is the Father, he's the Son, but because I am in the Father and the Father is in me, and I came to reveal the Father to you. You have the truth of God in me. In Jesus, you meet God. Do you believe in him? That means only him. The Jesus of the Bible. The Muslims say they do. The Quran talks about the prophet Jesus. That's not the same Jesus as the Jesus of the Bible, who's the only way to the Father, and who brings us there through his substitutionary death and his victorious resurrection. They claim there's a greater prophet who supersedes Jesus. His name is Muhammad. They don't believe in Jesus. The Sikhs say they believe in Jesus. He's one of the many gurus who brings enlightenment to seekers. But that's not believing in Jesus, who's the way, the truth, the life, the only enlightenment that a man or a woman or a child can find is in him. He is the light of the world. The Jehovah's Witnesses say they believe in Jesus. But the way back to God is through good works, not him. Not Jesus' good works done in our place for us. That's not believing in Jesus. So sadly, there's a lot of so-called faith in Jesus that does not believe the truth about him. As we confess it in Lord's Day 11, so scriptural, so good. Because he saves us from our sins, our salvation, and no one else. It's impossible to find salvation apart from him. For many, Jesus is not the way, the truth, and the life. He's not the door to the Father. You find your own way. Jesus is just your mentor, or your example, or your teacher, or your coach, or your support worker, or your therapist. And you're on your own to make your own way to God, but he's there cheering you. But not a Savior who redeems you from God's wrath and brings you into God's favor by paying the price of your sin for you, by his suffering and death. That's believing in Jesus. He's the only way to God. I believe in Jesus means putting all your eggs in one basket, going with him alone, not adding to him your collection of gods and saviors to make sure you have all your bases covered. Believing in Jesus means taking all your idols, throwing them in a bag, like a man recently did at Hope Center, burning them and replacing them with the Lord Jesus Christ, one Savior only. I know that in the business world, you should diversify your portfolio and not put all your eggs in one basket. But what if in this world only one stock was certain and every other was sure to fall apart, to lose all its value? Wouldn't you counsel your client to invest everything in that one stock? Well, when it comes to salvation, there's only one stock that will hold its value and bring you full reward. The rest will crumble. Jesus Christ. And so you should invest the whole weight of your life, body and soul, in him to pay for your sins and make you right with God. Again, in him, God is saying to you, come home. You've lost your way. You're destroying yourself in sin. You're under judgment. But here is the way for you back to me. Here is the truth. Here is the life for you, Jesus. Take him. Come to him. Do not delay. Do not wait till tomorrow. Lest you waste one more day on yourself in sin. Lest you die tonight and are not given that opportunity again. And he does not pass by you again. Or lest he simply does not give you another opportunity. We don't know the plan of the Lord for your life. And thirdly, he is the perfect Savior. Not only does the Bible teach that Jesus is the only way to God, the only one who can atone for your sin and redeem you from God's wrath, it also teaches he doesn't need, nor does he accept any assistance. He doesn't need or accept any help from other saviors or mediators who are a little lower than him. He alone saves, and he saves all alone. And that's what question and answer 30 are all about. Either he's not a perfect savior and you need to have, he needs assistance. Or those who believe in him find in him everything they need for their salvation. It's either or. You can't have it both ways, that he's a part savior and he needs some help. He is not only the only way to God, he's the whole way to God. He alone saves and he saves all alone. Not again because he's arrogant, but because he's true to himself and he's faithful to us in our salvation. No other person's worthy of standing with Jesus in the gap between a holy God and unholy sinners. Nobody else is worthy to stand there. If Jesus would allow any to assist him, that assistant, even if that assistant was without sin, would be too weak to handle the load of infinite wrath. That assistant would ruin our salvation. That would spoil the broth of our perfection, so we would not be acceptable in God's presence. That assistance would mess everything up. And it's important to understand this. No assistance, no helpers allowed. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Means not only that he's the only one, but he's the only one who's on that way between God and unholy sinners. No joiners, no joiners. It's important to teach that because all through church history, people have been tempted not to be fully satisfied with a Jesus-only relationship with God. All through history, we've been tempted to denigrate the Christ and elevate the saints and say, this saint is so good. He's up there with Jesus. You can pray to him. And he'll pray to Jesus for you. We've been tempted by Jesus plus systems of one kind or another. In the early church, the Judaizers taught Jesus would give you the beginning of your salvation, but if you wanted to complete it, you needed to be circumcised. You needed to become a Jew. Jesus would begin it. Circumcision or becoming a Jew would finish it. And then if you do that, God accepts you fully. Oh, now we need Jesus plus circumcision. Paul said, if you add circumcision to Jesus as the way into God's favor, Christ is of no value to you. You don't believe in Jesus at all if you don't trust him to do it all. You don't believe in Jesus at all if you don't trust him to do it all. Later, the church elevated Jesus' mother Mary to a position of mediator between Jesus and sinners. Jesus is too high and holy for you, but maybe Mary can get Jesus' attention. And so you talk to her and she'll talk to Jesus. So Mary became the object of devotion in Roman Catholic piety. And approximately 80% of the prayers in the Rosary are prayers to Mary, the Queen of Heaven. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Jesus accepts no assistance, no helpers. And Mary does not want to be there. Let's not try to put her there. Others pray to lesser saints for help from God. Saint Anne, help me. Saint Jude, help me. Saint Joseph, help me. But those are all ways of moving away from Jesus and adding new layers of mediation between God and sinners. It's only Jesus, and it's Jesus all by himself, the perfect Savior. That is such good news. The perfect Savior who's got you completely covered. When he says, I am the way, he means I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the author and finisher of your faith. I've got everything. And to put it in practical terms, there's two things that Christians struggle with when it comes to our relationship with God. Number one, there's so many good things I fail to do. Number two, there's so many bad things I do. Good things I fail to do, bad things I do. And that Jesus is a perfect Savior means that with his holiness, he covers all your unfinished holiness, all your imperfections, all the things you should have done and didn't. And with his sacrifice, he also covers all the wrong things you've done. So you got you totally covered, paid your debt, give you a full line of credit. And not only that, what he did there at Calvary and his suffering and death for you covers you your whole life long. So every day you have those gifts. Please finish for me what I've left unfinished. Please forgive what I've done wrong. Every day, that's who he is for us. That's what he gives to us. He is the perfect Savior. You have everything you need in his finished work on the cross to take you from now to glory. Believing in him means believing that. And resting in him for God's acceptance of you every day. Again, Satan will say every day, you're not good enough for God. And you say back, it's not about how good I am. Jesus is good enough for God. And I belong to him, and that's good enough for me. I look for nothing else. I look for no one else. No guilt in life. No fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I stand. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, our God and Father, that you have provided for us just the rescuer, the Savior we need. Thank you, Father, that it pleases you to bring many sons to glory, to bring us back to paradise, to take us back home after we turned our backs on you. We see the Father and the prodigal son waiting for that wicked, vile son to come back, and you received him, open arms. Well, give us that grace that wants to come back, wants to get out of our sin and shame, shameful failure and pride, and into your blessed house and life. Father, lead us and direct us in the way of your Son. Through him, bring us back home to yourself and help us to enjoy each day that we get to live with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.